to be here. I know they always say, welcome home when you come through these doors. And that is the one thing that I've heard since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, that when people walk into a Unity church, into a Unity community, they feel, we feel like we're home, right? A place you can relax and be yourself and to immerse yourself in love. I love this affirmation that you did, Britt. I immerse myself in the awareness of God's love within me. And that's huge, because unless and until we're aware that God's love infuses our lives, that we are filled with love, whether we're using that love appropriately or not, we are filled with love. And that gives us a place to go. In the holidays, it's a really important time to remember to love anyway. So that is our topic today. Are you familiar with 1 Corinthians 13? Raise your hand. This is an interactive service. Raise your hand if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. It's like the definitive scripture on love. And it goes like this. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, you get that, right? So I have a Christmas version for you. If I decorate my house with awesome bows and twinkling lights, but I don't beautify my life and the lives of others with love, then I'm just a decorator. And if I bake dozens of gluten-free, anti-inflammatory Christmas cookies, right, and have a beautiful gourmet spread for everyone, but I haven't put my love into it, then I'm just another cook. If I attend a lot of holiday parties and learn all the words to the night before Christmas, but don't focus on the Christ light that is within each and every person and within each and every situation, no matter how it may look to our physical eyes, then I'm just missing the point. Love is kind, even in the midst of muchness. Love doesn't envy another's coordinated Christmas china and napkins. Love doesn't yell at children to get out of the way, but rejoices that they're there to be in the way. Love doesn't give in order to give, but it rejoices in giving. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And isn't that what we're celebrating with Christmas? Isn't that what the Advent season's about? I do this because it's an expectant season. That we are, each one of us, pregnant with this holy consciousness, this Christ-like consciousness, wherein we can truly be present and be the presence for each other. And do we go through tough times? Yeah. Do we have trials and tribulations as human beings, as physical beings? You bet. But every aspect of it, not just retrospectively, every aspect of it is meant to bring us to our proverbial knees, where there is high humility all the time, no matter what the weather is. That we remember that I'm no greater than my neighbor, and my neighbor's got a sign on his neck. That we are one in consciousness, and that's what Christmas is about. So we are celebrating today this innate quality that's within us. It's not like somebody has it more than others, we just use it. We turn it on our love sometimes, and sometimes we just turn it off. But it's there. This innate, irreplaceable, undeniable, often misunderstood, mysterious quality of God. That is you. It moves at the frequency of you. By whatever name. Sometimes it's schmaltzy, but hey, love is what we're celebrating today. So it's up to you and up to me to experience and to share it. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
How do they do amen in New York?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. So what are you waiting for? I often ask myself that. What are you waiting for, Diane? What's holding me back from seeing that that individual is filled with love at their core? Though they may be expressing it through mean behavior, bullying behavior. Our politicians right now in the politics of America, I'm just blessing myself, I'm blessing the Republicans and the Democrats in the same exact way. Because we are one nation under God, indivisible. And when we remember that and don't focus on the this and the that and the you said, he said, they said, we move forward, and that's just the way it is in our lives as well. So what are we waiting for? For things to be perfect? For just the right alignment of lights on our tree for him to change or for her to change, for them to change before we'll express love? Madeleine L'Engle said it this way. She's a wonderful poet. She often writes about the irrational season. She says, this is the irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there would have been no room for the child. Right? There is no room for us to express and allow that love to come through if we're so filled with judgment, if we're so filled with firm opinion that we're holding against ourselves, no matter what we've been through, or others. What anyone has taught us about ourselves, what they have said, or what they have done. Today is the first day of our lives. Today really is the day the Lord has made for us to what? Rejoice and be glad in, yeah. Doesn't mean we haven't been sad. It means that love overrides. Love overlights all of that. And so I think that's why at Christmas we have this situation where we have a virgin birth. I mean, what could seem more impossible than a virgin birth, right? To us as human beings. It's like, yeah, that didn't happen. We just like Joseph. You know, Joseph was like, whoa. He was really attracted to Mary. She was apparently like 12 or 13 years old. And he wanted to be with her, wanted to be betrothed to her, but then he finds out she's pregnant, and he just totally jumps to conclusions on that. Very human way of seeing it, right? And judges her as wrong, as having done something wrong. And Mary is just this, she represents in you and in me that love that is just this receptive place that can be expectant with the birth of that Christ child, with the birth of love into a place where there has been hatred, into the birth of peace where there has been war. It happens. Into the birth of acceptance where there has been so much to forgive. This is what we're talking about. So there's Mary. She's 12 or 13 years old, and she has absolutely no clue what has happened to her. She knows she was visited by an angel. Would that get your attention? If Gabriel, big hug, and Gabriel apparently comes and says, yo, hello. You'd be like, oh, I'm all ears. Don't worry, Gabriel said. Cool your jets. It's in a very modern translation of the Bible that Gabriel said, cool your jets, Mary. You know, it's just the Holy Spirit that's coming over you. When you have something that you haven't yet forgiven, and all of a sudden you feel washed clean of it, you've immersed yourself in love, that's what's happening. Just you cooled your jets and you allowed love to come into that space. She's scared. She doesn't understand. And yet, in that moment, she totally trusts the Holy Spirit. I remember when I said to my husband, who was still getting his PhD at Georgetown and hadn't yet done his verbal dissertation, and I said, let's get pregnant. What do you think? It seemed to me to be this really romantic, can any of the women here relate to this? Super romantic, wonderful thing to do, right? So I immediately, pretty much, got pregnant. And I'm pregnant. People would say to me, so how pregnant are you? And I'm like, is there an amount? Because I think once you're pregnant, you're pretty, that's it. It may be little tiny, but maybe great big. And I realized during that 9 months of pregnancy that by getting pregnant, it wasn't just going to be a romantic thing. I was actually going to have to give birth to this child, right? Yeah. Every situation that we get into has stressors. There's a psychologist by the name of Thomas Holmes who's developed a stress scale, and he put it this way in terms of Mary. He said, well, she's pregnant, so that's 20 points. Well, I'll give you the example of his stress scale. Moving is 25 points. Has anybody moved here ever? Yes. And a debilitating diagnosis is 200. So he's looking at Mary. Well, she's pregnant. So immediately she gets 40 points for that, and it's unplanned, so she gets another 20 points. She's an outcast because of it, which is another 35 points, and it's tax time, which adds at least 20 more points. And she rushes her packing job, which we all know what that's like, and she's got to get it on a donkey, hello, 15 more points. And she argues with Joseph because he did not reserve an Airbnb, even though he knew the city where they were to be taxed. And they had all these guests. Do you remember the unexpected guests? Come on, when was the last time? You know, you had shepherds coming to your house. You're like, it's a little tense. You've got the camels coming. You got to feed them. You got to make way for the wise men, all the animals, the angels. Oh my gosh. It's estimated that with the death threats and the escape to Egypt, that Mary had at least 400 points on her stress scale. What did she do? What does she do with that? She takes all those factors, every one of those unanticipated things, all of those difficult opinions, all of that shock of being in the situation she was in, she takes it all in and she ponders it. I can't even remember the last time I pondered. Because what I did when I pondered was I started to think, like try to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And she didn't do it that way. Where did she ponder all those things? Do you remember the scripture? She ponders them in her heart. I want you to sit up, if you would, please. Nobody's watching you. I want you to roll your shoulders back. Heart forward, just heart akimbo. I want you just to take a moment, if you would, and open your hands up. This is not our time of meditation. Just open your hands. And I want you to think for one moment if there's anyone in your life that you have not poured love out to. Anyone you've been holding harshly. Anyone you've judged, right or wrong, weak or strong. Anyone. Any situation you're in or moving through. Just hold it. In this open place. That's what Mary did. And she committed to doing that no matter what. She's present to Jesus at his birth. She's present to Jesus as he is crucified. She is present in our hearts. Because she represents that openness and that love and that receptivity. But she committed to it. This is like the greatest Christmas of our lives. We could today, this moment, right now in this beautiful red chair that's holding you up, you could commit to love anyway. Think how that would change your life. For there would be a vibration. There would be a humming as you walked into the room. There would be a vibration of love emanating from you so much so that people would just, they wouldn't know why it got warm all of a sudden, and they just want to kind of be near you so they could remember the truth of who they are. She committed to doing it. Goethe, who is a German writer, a poet, a statesman in the late 1700s, early 1800s, said this: the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. You know this is true. All sorts of things occur to help that would never have otherwise occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man or woman would have dreamed would come his or her way. Isn't that so? We're a big deal about coincidences these days, right? About synchronicity, we talk about that. There's either no coincidences or everything is. But I say to you today that coincidence is a mathematical term. It means two or more incidences happen simultaneously and is a guarantee that everything is coincidental in your life. And everything, this divine order that you live in, well, it will just all unfold like a domino. And yes, retrospectively, you can look back and say, oh my gosh, the presence of love was there all the time. All I needed to do was immerse myself in that awareness. And, that which I couldn't forgive is forgiven. That hard place I was holding is softened. It's like that. So what if you and I today decide right now that we will love anyway? Now, it's all well and good to talk about it. You know, we talk about love. But what happens when push comes to shove? And I had an experience of that. You know, several people have commented on that. I'm actually wanting to look like falling snow today. People have said, oh, you look like an angel. I am not an angel. My son is here. He can tell you. I am not an angel. However, I had an experience where it really was push comes to shove, and it was very recently. I had spoken at the CSL, the Center for Spiritual Living in Tampa, Florida. I had just gotten back from Egypt last month. The next Sunday and Saturday, I went to Tampa, stayed overnight. Sunday, spoke at the church and was driving home on 75, which is I-75 interstate, three lanes going south. I'm in the far right lane, driving 74 miles an hour. How do I know I was driving 74? Because I happened to look at my speedometer as I'm speaking to my second brother over the phone, hands-free, speaking to him, and I look up in my rearview mirror, and behind me is, I do drive a white car, there is a larger white car, and it is bearing down on me. I've never seen this before. I said to my brother, oh my gosh, I think this person behind me is going to hit me, I'll call you back. I hang up the phone, pump my brakes a little bit, thinking that surely she will see my brakes and back it up a little bit, right? No, the car kept its velocity going and push comes to shove, literally hit me and pushed my car forward. I don't even remember steering the car. I remember steering the car, but I stayed straight. I know I stayed straight because as I slowed down, because we were two vehicles moving together at that point, put my blinker on, moved over to the side, praying that this person also would move over to the side. They moved over to the side. I got out of my car feeling shaken. My head had gone back. A little tiny bit of coffee that was down in the well had jumped out into the passenger seat because I almost felt as if I hadn't been hit. I was shaking, though. I got out, and the gentleman who was driving the car behind me got out, and I hear, as he gets out of the car, I can hear this large barking of a dog in his car. And I walked around to him, and he had just this look on his face like he really had no idea what had happened. And I said, I'm Diane, and you are? And he said, I'm Jim. I said, Jim, are you all right? And he looked at me and he said, what happened? I said, well, Jim, I was driving along in the right-hand lane here on 75, and I looked up in my rearview mirror, and you were going faster than me right behind me, and you hit my car, and now we're over here talking about it. And he said, oh. And I knew that Jim had been asleep, sound asleep. You have that look of when you just wake up and his eyes, you know, the big eyes, and his hand wasn't the least bit cold or clammy. He was just as warm as could be. It was like he'd been in a deep sleep. And he said, my dog was barking. My dog kept barking and barking, and I had this thought that it's possible that was a service dog and that he had gone into a low blood sugar point and fallen asleep. It's possible that he was starting to have a stroke. I don't know. It didn't matter at all. I just said, Jim, are you all right? He said, yeah. I hit you. I said, yeah, and he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, you know what? I'm shaky, but I'm fine. Don't be concerned. Let's go back and look at the car. So we walked back between the two cars, or we were separated. And I looked at my bumper, and there was not one sign, not one sign that I had been hit by a car going 75, 80 miles an hour. Nothing on my bumper whatsoever. We looked at Jim's bumper. It looked a little dented up, like it had happened to him before, maybe. But he looked at the bumper and said it was fine. Nothing had happened to his bumper. So I thought, time to bless this man. It's to bless this guy. I didn't even take a picture of his license. I didn't even get his information. I just said, Jim, I think your dog was barking to take care of you. And you need to take care of Jim and your dog. As you drive, I'm just blessing you as you go on your way. He got back in his car, I got back in my car, and we drove on. And I did take my car to the dealership the next week, and they said, there is no evidence whatsoever that your car was hit, that there was any collision at all. Now, that is not usually how accidents occur, right? It's not usually that two cars would hit and there'd be no sign of it. It's not usual that in our lives as we grow up, somebody doesn't say something mean to us, or that we're not bullied by someone along the way, or perhaps we bully someone. It's not usual that we come away from things unscathed. I didn't come away unscathed, and hopefully he was awakened. In the middle of the night, I heard a voice say to me that he had been asleep, and the angels had been around us, and that is why he hit me. So that I could be with him through that awakening and hold it. So his name is Jim. If you would hold him in your prayers, that he will stay awake if he's going to drive a car, or surrender his keys if he's not meant to drive a car anymore. It doesn't matter. We go through all those phases in our lives. And it's not really usual for me to be hit by somebody and go, hi. Hi, my name is Diane. Not usual for me not to get any insurance information, not usual for me to trust in that way. And that's what we're talking about today. Love. There's a song, it goes like this. Love. Love changes everything, and nothing in the world will ever be the same. So would you take my challenge today? It's not a challenge like, you know, something that's, you're not going to do it. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation for you to immerse yourself in love. It's an invitation for you to remember that you are expectant with this child, that in every situation gets to be delivered through you. Every situation you get into, every relationship you enter into, every thought you hold about those on the other side of the planet or in Washington, D.C. or wherever they are, it's up to you to give birth to that possibility in which all things can be made new and transformed. It's up to you. Mary wasn't ready for Christmas. She wasn't any more ready than you are. And Britt's right, it's coming really fast. We had a late Thanksgiving, and it seems like it's right here. So what? The idea is to throw caution to the wind and to leap with abandon into the present moment. Into the present moment. So if you feel like you're recessing a little bit, like your heart's hiding a little, your shoulders are coming forward, if you feel as if you're not sure what you're supposed to do, I just invite you today to love anyway and have the most glorious Christmas you've ever had in your life. God bless you.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. You are love. You are love. Thank you. Let's stay in this space of love. And if you have drifted away from this present moment, take a breath and come back. Let's come back to center. Prepare to take this message and these words that have been divinely shared with us into that deeper space within us. We remember we are holy, and we declare this in song, that we are holy.
We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy.
We are holy, holy, holy. We are whole. Let's know that again. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy, holy, holy. We are holy. We spread this love around us, knowing that you are holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy.
Your outer eyes, if you would, not to block anything out, but to just open up the inner gaze, to allow God to be God and have God's way in you. And at times, it takes a lot of effort to do that, but now and in this practice, and perhaps from this moment on, you'll remember that it is, in fact, the easiest thing to do. No distance at all, for there is no time or space. Einstein, let us know. This is a time to give it all into your chair. Just unweight yourself by giving everything that's ever happened before this time, everything yet to come, into this chair. If you tried to do so, you could just lift both your feet, but I don't advise it in these chairs because they fold up automatically. So feel your gluteal muscles, though, that are holding you up. And as I speak a body part, I'm going to invite you to decorate your body as if it's, well, yeah, it is. It's Christmas time. And if you were to, upon my mention of an aspect of your body, by way of relaxing, just tie an invisible bow on that body part and drop it in its purity, bless it. In whatever shape it is, whatever condition it's in, just tie a bow around it. And so let's begin with our feet. This place of understanding, it's often put a lot of pressure on them, so just tie a bow around your left and your right, your toes, seem decorated with love, your ankles, a beautiful bow, and your lower calves and shins at the front. Put a bow around your knees, and know they're working just as well as they can. you love them for all the flexibility they give you. A blow of gratitude. Thank you, God. Put a bow around those quadriceps at the top of your legs at the front and your hamstrings at the back. It can be any color you want. A bow of recognition, acceptance, love. And then moving up into the soft tissues, a bow around your red chakra that reproduces that which you're thinking and carries it forward. Around your orange area of soft tissues and the yellow of the solar plexus. Tie a beautiful bow around your heart, green area of healing and new life. And the blue area of Mother Mary, the throat. Ah, yeah. Now just a purple ribbon around your third eye area, moving up. And feel yourself, if you will, just relaxing the spine, holding it as is erect for you, right up to the mouth of God at the base of the neck, this indentation that allows all the messaging to take place at perfect speed, at God's speed. Relaxing your head, a bow around your nose, a bow on your eyes and your jaw, blessing and relaxing your hair, every single little follicle, just bow, 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 bow. Look at you. And your shoulders, your upper arms, your elbows, these amazing joints. Thanksgiving embraces your lower arms, your wrists, and your hands. And if you feel comfortable doing so, just place them open on your lap of luxury. For now, we move into a time of quiet, a time of pondering. And I invite you today, rather than thinking through, though if you have a thought, just bring it over and drop it into the gap, the Buddhic gap. Between thoughts, and watch it fall. For like snow now, feel this snowfall above you. Yeah, right above you. Light radiating down over your crown chakra. This light that's imperceptible as snow is until it accumulates. Falling all over you, blessing you, moistening your ability to soften, gentle, and with strength to be present. And in that place of committing to love anyway, should any thought of a person or a situation that you've been dealing with come to you in this time of quiet, I just invite you to be with that. Just accompany it and let it move through until it leaves with a bow. This is the time of Vaya con Dios. Go with God. In quiet now, as you allow God to breathe you, for you to breathe love in silence now.
reaching out to touch you. I can feel so much since I found you. Looking
so it is.